what we're seeing real? Does it matter? Did it ever? Find out on Haunted MTL's High Art Camp with contributors Parzival, J.M. Brannick, and a special guest.
Hello, welcome to High Art Camp, a podcast that is the end-all, be-all if a movie can indeed call its art.
Man, your pussy really is loud. You're right. I can hear that thing echo.
I am your host and highly awarded art critic, J.M.
Oh, God, you're the host? What am I doing here?
Box Human.
Oh, no.
Along with my other host and highly awarded art critic, Parzival. We have to the people, Parz.
Hi.
Hi, Parz.
Oh, God, there's two of them.
How are you, Parz?
What did I do to deserve
You're doing good today.
I'm here.
You're here. You're in the presence. We're glad
to have
you.
And I watched the movie.
I'm so glad.
Watch the movie.
I'm so glad you did.
That's a step up from Bloody Mary's. They didn't read the book.
So
that's how embarrassing that was.
We are two mega giants at the top of our game, coming to your inexperienced, inept baby ears to settle once and for all, is this art? Joining us today.
No, this is not art. This is Dr. Payne.
Is
the number one. The number one.
Super crap art critic.
Super tramp, more likely. The best art critic you could ever pay off.
Dr. Payne.
In your life.
With skills and background.
Throw down, champ, victorious. That's all that matters.
Crap, more crap, with interests in
making number one podcasts out of your crap.
And being a douche.
You are what you drink.
Welcome to the
That's
show.
That's why we decided what
Dr.
Coors
Payne.
Light tastes like, douche. Or strawberry lube, we haven't decided yet.
Or your beer.
My beer. I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you, Box. Today we're sponsored by beer.
You know I'm going to bleep that
Season 13. It's all right. I get paid either way. Don't matter to me.
So that is Dr. Payne.
Is beer a real thing?
Supposedly.
Is it your real thing? Yeah.
I have not seen it. I've not really, honestly, since he drinks it, I'm not really that interested.
I'm art campy. Look at, I'm a big critic, but I don't know what beer is. Holy crow.
Yeah, I usually drink wine. Today I'm drinking a very German wine.
You are a German wine.
Really German to the point where I cannot even
pronounce it. Want to kill Polacks? Is that how German
it is?
What
flavor is it?
It's a thing I cannot even pronounce.
Rusty Gypsy. That's the flavor Germans used to drink.
Gewürztraminer, maybe? Something like that.
Is it like a fruity wine? Or?
Oh, yeah. It's real fruity. Just like me.
This is riveting. I know,
and
talking about wine. We've already beat Bloody Marys for riveting.
Of rum. I have a fuck ton of rum because I'm going to need it, obviously.
All you listener.
So
I didn't say listeners, I said listener.
Yeah, I might need to take a shot too.
Yeah, take a shot. Take a shot. But don't take too many shots. We don't want to die of alcohol poisoning.
I don't know. It makes the podcast better, I think.
Maybe
more
if
me,
you do. More. Okay.
More. There's no such thing as more. It's already. Come on. Think about it.
So today's choice was actually my choice. It is 1972's Asylum, which was.
Asylum. Great movie.
Which.
Joanna Angel.
That was yesterday.
Hands.
Anyway.
Oh, this is not
so
the right one.
This is a. It's not a
story.
Hammer film, but it's kind of in the same vein as Hammer Horror. It was in England. Actually, a lot of the same people that were in Hammer Horror would kind of come into this. It was called Amicus Productions.
Hammer Horror.
Hammer Horror, yep.
Hammer Horror? That was from that Carl scene. Hey, man. What Carl does with those hammers, that's it to him.
He's talking about yesterday in porn that we watched. Not together. Thank God.
Okay, thanks for clarifying.
Yeah.
Sorry to confuse the two mothers that watched this show.
So, this was my pick. I chose it because I like movies from that era. I like the visuals. They kind of come out and they pop and they are just kind of beautiful to me. And it was on that cusp of kind of like outrageousness during that time. Not as much now. Here, like there's a lot more gory things and stuff like that. But they're kind of known as schlocky back then, but have an adoring presence in our society and in our culture. Plus, you know, it's fun. It's funness.
Well, this was written by the guy.
That's it. Who... Thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
That was the point. And this was written by Robert Bloch, who has written a lot of many other things, but has also wrote Psycho. So he wrote a lot of other different films for this company, Amicus Productions, but that's kind of like the claim to fame. So
didn't he do like Tales of the Crypt?
I think he did. He did a lot. He did so much.
Tales of the Crypt.
He did so much horror. So some of it's good. Some of it's, well, we'll see. We'll take a look about the film. And so we're going to talk about.
Oh yeah. We're going to look at this film.
That film and kind of talk about it. So.
And by the way, just so everyone knows, the Tales from the Crypt we're talking about is not the one anyone's ever fucking watched in their life. It's this one from 1970s. Not the one you're thinking of.
The good one.
Yeah. The one 70s. That didn't spawn a franchise whatsoever. Right. That one.
Exactly.
Okay.
So in this movie, Asylum, which has a great cover, and that kind of also brought me to it too, because the cover of it is this ghastly head that's like wrapped up and it's, you don't know what's going on. So it's like really cool and makes me really miss kind of covers like that nowadays because they're kind of bland and boring now. We start the movie with a new therapist. I don't know if he's a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but he comes to this, what is the proper, I don't know why I'm asking.
Asylum, Christ's sakes. It's the title of the film, Asylum. He comes to the asylum.
But it's for those who are mentally ill.
Appropriately titled. Right.
It's for those who are mentally ill.
Asylum is for, versus the asylums who are doing backflips in. No, it's an asylum. Come on.
Okay, so he gets there, it's an interview. Everything's great, but they say, you know, we really want to push you. We want to see what kind of a person you are, because obviously those, the kind of people that you treat and the kind of people that are here are kind of two different things. And we have two different thoughts that are going on. The doctor is seen as naive because he thinks that nobody is without repair or with, help me out.
What a shitty story that they have to tell for 20 minutes of the film.
We go in and we follow this young doctor, go into this asylum. I'm not sure what the right thing to call it is now, but, and he is given this little test, this little task of trying to find the missing doctor.
And it's not Dr. Payne.
Goes, yeah.
Oh, wait, I wish I was missing. Through.
I wish you were missing too.
That we can all agree on.
Yeah.
We all wish I was missing somewhere.
But he goes in and he is taken to see four different patients, and it's kind of set up like an anthology of stories.
Right, and he's trying to find out who is the doctor, because there is a doctor in there that went crazy, and he has to try to find out which one of them is that doctor, because that's the test. Super ethical. Super, super ethical, might I add.
And really hard test, by the way.
Is to, like, if he passes this test, he could be considered for the new open position.
Right. I would probably have just walked away because I'm like, if this is what I have to do to get the job, what do I have to do to keep the job? Sounds like not fun, but he decides to stay.
Yeah, so, I think he had like he seemed like he had a big head, like he can fix anybody with just being understanding and listening. So I thought that it was cool that he kind of stayed and went through this because I think that would be realistic.
Yeah, he was very of the camp, like, I can help people. You know, what you're doing to them is harming them by keeping them locked away, by keeping them away from people, by doing these things, you're harming them, not helping them. So we get into the four different stories. So we'll get into the first story. I love anthologies. So the first story is kind of where we get our picture from. And it's this woman who doesn't show us her face. So immediately, like, you know something's up with her face. At least I thought so.
Uh-huh.
It's like the reverse Tinder. Instead of a body shot, there's no face shot.
Right, exactly.
I still swipe.
Yeah. Which way?
Up. I swipe up.
She goes into her story of how she was a mistress to this really ordinary guy. I don't know. I don't know why.
Hey, he is not an ordinary guy. No one has that cake mixer just hanging out in the middle of nowhere. If he's an ordinary guy.
Cake
ordinary
mixer?
Do not have cake mixers like that.
Thanks. What are you talking about, a cake mixer?
It's where? A thing that mixes cake. I thought I was pretty clear on this one.
I didn't see a cake mixer.
I didn't either. Okay. I saw a big red vase I thought somebody would talk about, but...
Did you guys not watch the same movie? There was a cake mixer right by the stove next to the spice rack from 1972.
Okay, I didn't see any beavers, so I wasn't paying attention.
I'm the only one to watch the movie. Great, thanks.
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome.
I was obsessed kind of with the teal room, so I was kind of more just hanging out in the teal room, because that was a cool room where he would drink a lot. So he's kind of an alcoholic anyway. Again, I don't know why he's super interesting, but whatever. So they plan that he is going to kill his wife so that they can live free together.
And run away.
Yep. Great plan. So the wife comes home, and she... came home from voodoo class.
And he is hers and not going anywhere.
Yes. And she makes that very clear. And she has a cool little bracelet that's made out of, I think, like teeth and stuff. Gross bobble stuff.
Yeah, like bones or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, this is to protect me from evil. And he's like, there's no evil. And she gives him like a real quick like side glance. And she's like, mm-hmm. Because she knows that he's been seeing this girl, even though he says, nope, but we know.
And then he's like, let's go look in the basement.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I have a present. Let's go in the basement. Never a good idea. So.
Of course she goes.
Yeah. So they tiptoe in the basement, and guess what? He's so romantic. He bought her a freezer. Aw.
That's a good gift. In the 1970s, you had to either eat all the stuff or it goes to waste. We didn't have microwaves back then. We had to freeze stuff. Freezer is a good gift, man.
We had microwaves back then.
You had microwaves back then, maybe, the size of your house. But a freezer, that's romance right there. It says, baby, I love you enough, so you're cooking and you're cleaning. You can put all that stuff in the freezer.
Cleaning?
I feel like that is something that my dad would buy or something.
Really?
A woman?
Yeah.
Sounds like something I would buy too, a woman.
I don't know if I would buy that for spouse. I probably wouldn't. I don't think I would want spouse to buy that for me.
But think about this. That's why he has a mistress. He's so interesting. He has a freezer. That's, if you got freezer money, it's like, fuck you money today. It's freezer money back then.
I guess so. I guess freezer money was fucking around money.
Hell yeah. Think about the things, the link cuisines, TV trade deals. Oh my God. The best.
And it's a deep freezer too. It's a big one. And she's excited. God, she is thrilled to get this freezer.
And then there was another like, hey, Paul scene.
The hell is a hey, Paul scene?
From American Psycho?
Nope.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she turns around and she gets whopped in the head by an axe. I think an axe.
There's no blood.
I don't think there is blood. But her hand, it shows that bracelet again. Like, uh-oh, something's going to happen because of this bracelet. And then he honestly, he's a very good cleaner. He is very, very good because he, like, it shows the whole cleaning process, basically. And he's very thorough. And that was when I thought to myself, oh, I could never kill anybody because I am too lazy. I don't think I would do all that because that's a lot of work. There's like taking
razors involved. Gotta buy one.
Well, there's like matting on the floor that he has to like pull up. There's like soaking of rags.
It was intricate here. Even Dex was going, damn, dude, calm down a notch, right, Maddie?
And the perfect wrapping of the body parts.
Oh my God. Yes. We can talk a million years.
I haven't seen wrapping of body parts that perfect since Kim Basinger was Catwoman. That's all I'm saying.
You know, and just as hot. Yes, they were so perfectly wrapped and tied in twine. It was a really good job. He did a really good job. Maybe he was a butcher before. We don't know. But it was, so he cuts her up and he puts her in all of these packages, including the head, which is where we get the head from the poster.
Oh, we see the head again, though.
Oh, yeah. No, head's a major player. So he's like, he puts all of it into the freezer and he goes upstairs to pour himself a drink and wait for his lady love. Oh, calls him his lady love up. Hey, come over. I did it. Great. I'll be over. So he hears something from the basement And then he looks over and he sees, oh my God, it's the head. And he throws his drink at it, but it's not there. So maybe he was just imagining it. But then he hears something from the basement again. So he goes down. And what does he find, Dr. Payne?
I'm sorry, it was a damn thing about a freezer. I'm trying to see how many cubic inches. That is a great freezer. He finds a freezer.
He does.
And it's the most perfect freezer in the world. If Donald Trump made freezers, that's the freezer he would make. It's a perfect freezer. Completely empty, except for, of course, Pars.
I think he switched it to you.
Was the bracelet left in there?
A hand!
It strangled him.
Oh, yes! Yes, it strangled him.
Pulls him to hell. Also
and
known
pulls
as.
Him in. Yeah.
So he's dead, so. All right. So then our leading lady comes. And she's looking for him, and she sees the broken glass, and that's weird. She hears something in the basement, so she goes down to check. And I get a little bit fuzzy about, like, which came first. I think she found the bracelet and was like, what's this? And then...
Yeah. And then the head was at the top of the stairs,
that's
breathing.
Right. That's right. The head's there, and she's like, ooh. And that's when all the body parts come out, right?
She's like, yeah. And all the little squishy body parts. She couldn't run away from an arm. How the hell do you not run away from an arm? It's an arm. It has no feet.
I don't know why she just didn't kick the head off the stairs and keep going.
Honestly, though, I will give her props for this. She didn't even scream. She was more like, okay.
Speechless.
Like, yeah, just really like, okay. Which I think is very British. Like, Americans would have been screaming around, and she was just more like... Oh, well, that's not jolly good. Instead of kicking the head, instead of going away or running away or something, she takes an axe, and she is, like, the worst at trying to hit an object ever. Even worse than, like...
Yeah.
Anything else. I would make a stormtrooper joke, but she cannot hit these body parts that are moving incredibly slowly. Cannot hit them. And finally, we see there's the hand... One of the hands is going to grab her and does around the face. And it's trying to choke her and she starts hitting it with the axe. And then it kind of like fades to black. And then she's like, and then they said that I killed him. We don't know what happens after that. How were the police called? Like, did she just pass out and the body parts were like, huh?
The hand dialed the cops.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. We don't know. I guess the body parts were gone because they didn't talk about that. They just talked about the guy being strangled. And so they thought that she had done it. But that's when she reveals, dun, 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 she had accidentally chopped her freaking face trying to get this thing off of her.
Like more than once.
Oh, yeah. More than once. She is a terrible, terrible, terrible aim when it comes to chopping anything. That she chops her own freaking face. That was the first one. So they get outside and the orderly's like, do you think that's the doctor? And he's like, no. Nope, let's keep going. So they go to the second one.
Taylor, right?
Yes, the tailor. And he's invisibly tailoring stuff. I forget his name, but he's kind of like this wormy kind of guy. And he's like, you know, tell me your thing. And thankfully, this is the one with Peter Cushing in it, which is a doll. He's always a doll. But anyway, they're about to be evicted. This poor couple, and in walks in this strange, mysterious man saying, I want you to make me a rainbow suit out of this rainbow fabric for my son. It's a surprise. And you can only do it like during the middle of the night.
And I will pay you a lot more money than you'd think.
Right. Like shit ton of money. And the guy's like, oh, great, cool. And so he makes the suit. It is not very fashionable.
I don't know. I liked it. I was like, I can see myself in this suit.
I could see you in that suit too. Oh,
pimping. Get my fishbowl shoes out. My cane. Yeah. I can see that now. Where's my hat?
But it's like all like mono, like what's it? With all the different colors. It's just like. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All the different colors. So it's like Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yeah. Kind of.
Pink, it's got mauve and green and verdun. Da, 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 da. We can't sing the rest of the song.
Well, that wasn't even the song anyway, so I think you're safe.
And rosé. Well, I'm just naming wines now. Hold on.
Yeah. And Merlot. Yes.
I miss Merlots. We should talk about True Blood. Oh, wait. I thought we'd just do it in any podcast. We just talk about anything else but the podcast title. So anyway, as I was watching True Blood today,
Nope. So he finishes the suit and he takes it to Peter Cushing. And Peter Cushing is like, thanks. This is going to be great. And the guy's
crush like, some rebels.
Money now, please. And Peter Cushing's like, sorry, I don't have any money. But after I use the suit, I'll have lots of money. The guy's like, no, that's kind of not how we talked about this. And they get kind of into a little kerfuffle fight. Into one of the rooms, he finds a rotting corpse.
Yes, in a casket.
Yeah, in a casket. He's like, what the fuck is going on? And Peter Cushing's like, oh, that's my son. He died.
Now, does a cum shot take it out? I want to know.
Oh.
If the son takes some to the face.
He's not dead alive. He's not dead alive. He's just dead.
Just dead?
He's just dead.
What kind of movie crap is this?
Again, going back to Dr. Payne's podcast. Don't listen to it, though. Don't be enticed.
Enticed. We have PG-13 porno. How can you not be enticed with that?
We do. Although I do say the fuck like a million times. Anyway, so the tailor's like, look, I need my money. I need, you know, whatever the fuck this is. I just need my money. And Peter Cushing pulls out a gun, which he could have sold, I think. I don't know, to pay for it. But anyway, they get in a fight. The tailor shoots Peter Cushing, freaks out, grabs the book that Peter Cushing was talking about because he's like, I have this book and I sold all my fortune for it. He goes back to his house and his wife's like, hey, babe, what's up? And he's like, pack all your shit. We gotta go.
And burn a suit.
Yeah, burn the suit. Burn that motherfucker. So he's trying to look into the book. He looks in the book, sees that the suit brings dead people back from the dead to the life.
Christ, it's not that hard. It brings dead people back. The end.
Yeah. So from dead to life. So
from Miami. It brings them back from Miami. It's really weird.
Which
it's
is
a weekend of the Bernie suit.
Basically it's death.
Absolutely. Now, before you go on and spoil the ending, spoiler alert, they all die. But
no, they don't.
You have to understand, you've seen Grand Marf Tarkin. Does anything he do ever work out? He gives a plan to someone, they kind of follow through, and the shit blows up in his face. Either literally or more literally with a gun. Not once does his plans ever work out.
They don't work out now.
Poor bastard.
And it didn't work out in this either. So he is grabbing all his shit, the weird tailor, and he goes to the fireplace, but no fire. What's going on? He told his wife to burn the suit. So he goes.
Bitch, better listen.
Yeah.
It's the 70s. That's right. Smacking time.
Well, no, I don't even think it was the 70s. This looked like it was, well, I guess it was the 70s, but it looked like it was the 30s to me.
Yeah.
Either way, she better step correct.
It looks like he had been transferred from the 30s into the 70s. He's like, what's the deal with the suit? And she's like, oh, I put it on her mannequin. And
not just any mannequin. It's a sex doll.
Maybe. We don't know.
No, maybe about it. She's like, oh, I do things with him when you're not here.
It's
a sex doll.
She says she just talks, okay?
Yeah,
she says she just talks.
It's an emotional friend to a dummy? No, it's got working boy beliefs. I'm a boy. I'm a real boy. That's what it becomes, right? I want to be a real boy. Oh, my God, it's Pinocchio.
It is
Pinocchio. Are mannequins anatomically correct?
Sex dolls are.
Not generally, but they're maybe like this G.I. one Joes. Is. I don't know. Yeah, they're more like G.I. Joes. But maybe you're right, Dr. Payne. Maybe this is like a weird retelling of Pinocchio.
And Pinocchio was a sex doll in the beginning with anyways. I mean.
Nope. Not going there.
Growing. It kept growing and growing.
Not going there. So anyway, he's like, what the fuck? Growing. We have to go, you know. And she was like, why are we going? He's like, I murdered that dude. She's like, well, we gotta call the police. She's like the only sane person. He's like, we can't. She's like, well, it was an accident. You just told him it's an accident, whatever. You know, he was a crazy old man with his son, dead son in his house. I think they'll understand.
Is that really crazy though? Because back then you kept dead people in your house and it wasn't a living room until recent memory.
In the 70s?
It used to be a parlor. Remember, you said, oh, it's not the 70s, it's the 30s.
It feels like the 30s. But I think she was right. I think the police would have said, okay, he has a rotting corpse of his son. He was kind of loony. But no, the tailor freaks out and starts to like attack his wife. And that's when the mannequin, aka Pinocchio, starts to come to life to save her. And he is terrifying. I don't think he was supposed to be terrifying, but he is terrifying with a weird, gross face mustache and his face all cracking.
I liked how he was freaking out because he had this book that had, you know, could have had like a fortune in it, you know, or worth a fortune just alone. And like, I think it was just a tale on, I don't know, greed, maybe? I'm not sure. I liked it better than the first one. I just had a hard time keeping it or staying serious because the guy kept sounding like the cowbell guy. I need more cowbell guy.
Christopher Walken?
Yes! Like, the words he'd say remind me of Christopher Walken.
I can't do a good Walken, but...
Can you do some good jogging? But how is he going to get money? Because it's like, my son, I've been bringing it back. So he's going to shake his son down for money? Or is he going to pimp him about what? What's the end game here?
I think it's like, look at this suit. It can turn people back from the dead.
Resurrection. That's
it. Yeah.
Christ was poor. He could do that. Allegedly, Christ was poor. Sorry.
So the dummy goes crazy. And again, we fade to black. So we kind of like, again, he wakes up. And when I woke up, they were gone. But I know he's still out there. And that's why he's crazy, because this dummy is out there with banging his wife, probably.
So like Donald Trump, out there banging wives, making America greater. I love it. This is the best story ever. We had a Donald Trump freezer. We had a Donald Trump golem banging people's wives. What's the next story?
I think somebody has a crush.
I'm gonna say, I'm glad you like.
So next is actually my favorite one, which is Lucy Comes to Stay, which is basically Barbara is first coming from some kind of institution or something. She,
like an asylum?
Yeah, like an asylum, because she had some kind of mental health problems. We see later that she is probably addicted to pills. We don't know what kind of pills. Anyway, so she's coming back and her brother's kind of being kind of a dick. Like, you're going to have somebody watching over you. You're going to be doing this. Yeah. Way authoritative. And she's like, wait, I'm okay. Like, this is my house. This is, you know, everything was aired to me. And he's like, yeah. Chill. Like, this is all for your good. So she gets home and there's like a nurse there. And the nurse like is like, oh, we have to get you right to bed. Like a little child. Well, honestly, when I saw that scene, I'm like, I wish I had somebody that when I got home, they were like, do you want a nap? Do you want me to tuck you in? And I'd be like, yes, please. But she didn't want that. She wanted to be on her own. So.
But did you find it odd that when she was going up the stairs, she turned and asked her brother if he was coming up with her?
Yeah, that was kind of weird. I was like, what do you mean by that? Like in the same bed?
Right. And then there was a camera movement as well that we got. He was like looking at the camera almost. Yeah.
And he was like, not now, but later.
Right.
It's like, okay. All right. Yeah. I did pause at that because I was like, well, what does that mean?
Yeah. I rewound it.
Wait a minute. So the last thing that Box Human said that they paused was, what was it? Angelina Jolie's Bieber?
No. What? No.
And now you're pausing this? Really?
No, I meant I paused like a thought pause.
Oh, your thoughts pause.
And it wasn't Angelina Jolie. It was Mia Jovovich.
Stan.
Her Bieber.
Correct.
I was saying, there were some good Bieber shots in Nymphomaniac, I think.
Well, I mean, it was all Bieber shots in Nymphomaniac. That's when you have to actually pause it. By the way, Netflix took that scene out. I did try to watch it again because after we talked about it, I'm like, I wonder what it is. It was the second Resident Evil, but they took that scene out. And I thought, okay.
And by the way, to everyone listening, that one person, hi, Bill, how are you?
Bill, my mom.
We are naming things that we'd rather be watching than the movie we watched.
No, I liked this. Anyway, so Lucy Comes to Stay. Wait.
You liked it, but would you rather watch this or Mila Jovovich naked?
Well, that's probably not a fair question.
I said rather.
This.
You'd rather watch this? Only one of us being honest here.
That's not a fair question.
Yeah, I guess it depends on my mood.
I'm going to abstain. I'm going to plead the fifth. But I really so wanted this one because this one was kind of like a little bit cool and a little bit special to me because her friend appears out of nowhere because they leave the brother and the caregiver. The caregiver, her mother is sick or whatever or something. They get a telephone call, so they have to leave. So that's when Lucy appears. And Lucy,
immediately after she takes pills.
Right. And Lucy is her friend. And her friend is like super fun and super confident and cool. I know this is like so stereotypical of me, but I kind of like them as a couple.
Well, I was going to, I thought that there might have been something sexual there.
Because they did. They were very, they played off each other. And then when they were talking about, they were going to run away. And Lucy was very like, don't worry, I'll take care of you. We'll figure it out together. Barbara seemed very much okay and kind of in love with her, you know, Lucy and Barbara together forever with a four and an E-V-A. But anyway, so Lucy's like, okay, we got to get out. I'm going to come to you later, you know, then we'll sneak out. Okay, great. So later on, Lucy slips something into Barbara's brother's tea. So he is out.
It's just one date rape after another, which is really weird because they're all related.
Well, they're not all related.
You don't have to try that hard with your sister. Trust me, I've done your sister.
I don't know what to say to that. So he is out. And so she's like, all right, let's go. She's like, you need to get dressed. We need to go. So Barbara's getting dressed, but she's getting stressed out, y'all. She's getting really stressed out. So she takes her pills. And that's when I thought this was kind of cool. Lucy finds her taking her pills. And she's like, bitch, you know, those pills mean more to you than anything in the world. Mm-hmm. Even more than me or your brother or even yourself. So have fun with your pills. I'm out. I thought that was a great scene. I thought it was compelling. And
that was a great scene. An imaginary friend freaks out about some pills.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Well, you're right. This is so much better than Mila Jovovich.
What if this isn't an imaginary friend, though, and this is that other part of our psyche?
Also called your imaginary friend.
Or maybe she is real. Maybe or Lucy maybe she is real.
Yeah, I don't know. She could have been working with the brother. I guess we don't really know if the brother died or not. I don't know.
We don't know. More the brother has the shit in his chest, right?
Yeah, the brother was dead, though.
He's okay. Dead.
All right.
He dead.
But I
wasn't know. Much blood. I don't know.
I think he was dead, though. But the thing with Lucy is, I think everybody's supposed to think she's this imaginary friend, but she could have not have been just as much.
Right. I figured that's what the. I don't know. I just tried taking it, I don't know, a step further, I guess.
What was your step further?
That it was the same person. Like, I think that's what it was intended for.
Yeah.
Like, for you to have that, oh, shit, that's actually a real person, and she's not, you know, she's kind of screwed and set up, and everybody thinks she's got this imaginary friend. But I don't know, like, maybe it is this, like, you know, angel versus demon sitting on their shoulder type of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That demon's got some hottest lips, by the way.
Yeah.
Blonde demons, long hair, good legs, some cans on her. Yeah.
Or this want versus reality, too. I don't know.
That's true, too. I thought Barbara was hotter.
Who was Barbara? The old woman? Me, too.
Yeah, she was.
I'm down for that.
Barbara. I liked her casting choice, too. I think she did a good job acting, like, in comparison.
Yeah, I thought they all did a pretty good job in this one. So, what's her name? Lucy had cut the phone cord. She had killed the brother. And the nurse walks up the stairs and gets stabbed in the chest. Again, doesn't scream. You're very British. And there's Lucy and Barbara, both at the stairs. And Lucy's like, see, I did everything for you. Now you don't have to even worry about it. And that's kind of like the end of it. They did get caught, Lucy and Barbara, but nobody has seen Lucy. But Barbara is insistent that Lucy exists.
We see it. This is why it's not like a twin or anything like that, because we see Lucy wear the man in the mirror.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. We did see that. Well, she could have been crazy at that point. That's right.
Sure, at that point.
At that point. Just that point. But yeah, at the very end, that's right. She's like, no, Lucy's right here. And she points in the mirror. And it's Lucy, but we only see that it's Barbara. And then Barbara laughs because she's having a good time.
That's a good laugh.
It was a good laugh. It was very believable, which is really hard to do when people are acting laughing. And that was that, which was my favorite one. And so then we get into my least favorite one, which is a doozy.
Okay. See, I liked this one. yeah, I liked this one.
Ian, did you like this one or not?
I love this one when it was first told to me as Puppet Master.
right. I know. All right. So.
Well, hold on. This was 72, though.
Yeah, no. I know. Like, Puppet Master came after. Yes. Like, this came first. But Puppet Master was better. But okay, so we get to Mannequins of Horror is the title of the piece, which they're not really mannequins. They're like
not really horror.
Horror.
I don't know. They're more like Rock'em Sock'em Robots with people's potato head on it. Rock'em Sock'em Robots of Horror doesn't have the same ring to it.
Yeah, they were like robots. I didn't understand that. I guess to just walk around like, but anyway, okay, so.
I was so proud. Look at my anatomically correct doll. I'm like, well, I don't know about you, buddy, but I don't know. It looks kind of boxy, no penis. Maybe it's anatomically correct for you, but.
Not even nipples. You need them nips. Anyway.
Playing fine right now.
Okay, so let's get into it. Oh, so yeah. This is the last one. So.
Oh, it sure is. The last one. Hold on. Okay. Yeah, there we go. I'm back.
How do I mute him?
Play with my nipples. That's how you mute me.
All right.
Oh, that's how you mute me. I'm sorry. My bad.
All right. So this is the last one. This is Dr. Byron. And he explains that he's working on this like soul transference into these little robot golems. People. Like, yeah, golems. And he is going, everybody has laughed at him, but he's going to show them, he's going to will the mannequins to life. He says that like the interior of it is like all anatomically correct
gooiness, penis yeah. And all, they all got cocks bigger than a robot. It's wonderful.
And
your tripod, R2-D2 coming to life in the flesh.
The real doctor's like, huh, oh, okay, that's good job, keep up the good work. And so they leave. And so the doctor, the one that was trying to do this test, goes downstairs to the other doctor who was giving him the interview. They're like, okay, so who was it? And he's like, well, duh, it was the last one.
The one that said he was a doctor, for fuck's sakes. It wasn't that hard. Oh, I'm a tailor. And the other two were girls, so we know that one's not right. Gotta be the guy, the last guy that says I'm Dr. So-and-so, right?
So
even Scooby-Doo can figure this one out.
While they're talking, the guy who is a doctor is in his room thinking real hard as he puts his little robot on the ground and it starts little robot walking.
Waddles to the elevator thing.
Yeah, it somehow gets up there. I don't know how it did that.
And on a tea cart.
And the attendant doesn't even see it. Because this is like Puppet Master-ness where you don't see things by your feet. So they're still talking and this doll is still coming at them. Still making this little jolly way. And they're still talking and it's still coming.
They do use Chekhov's gun though. They introduce a torture instrument and by golly, that doll knows exactly what to grab it.
Oh my gosh. That little spear?
It was a scalpel.
Beer.
What is it?
The hell? Are we watching the same movie?
It was.
Stabs him in the back of the neck.
It was a scalpel.
A spear. I once went to the doctor. They speared my knee.
It was a doctor's spear. And the little tiny thing, doctor spears him in the neck. The one doctor who's doing the interview. And it's a great death because he's like, and I'm just talking and I
stands up and falls over and is dead. And the thing's only in like a quarter of an inch.
That's what she said. That's all you need is a quarter of an inch sometimes to really hit it home. Using your spear to thrust it in their face. A quarter of an inch.
Yes, it's like a mosquito bite.
That's all it took here.
That's all it took. He doesn't get much excitement, okay? So he's deadzo, and the other guy, the new doctor, is like, what the fuck is going on? As he sees his little robot, like, fall on the ground. And again, we keep taking shots at the guy that's controlling the robot, looking very sweaty and thinking. And
yeah.
Which are not great shots. And so he stomps on it.
Mm-hmm. And what happens?
His anatomically correct
sperm guts all over, man. It's on his shoe going, damn it. It's like stepping on a lobby way of a New York theater. It's all stickiness.
It's all fluid. Goopy.
Goopy, goppy. If it's a zombie, he'll be dead.
An organ looking in there.
Yeah, real organy. Real organy in that robot. And we see the upstairs doctor guy go, and we're like, oh no. So that's what happens. So like the doctor's like, what the heck is going on? He goes up to the orderly. He's like, what the fuck's going on? Wordersley's like, oh, this one doctor looks as if he has been crushed, which I don't know how he would know that, but okay. They're running around like, you know, the goos. He goes into the office and he sees that there's a dead body there. And the orderly's like, no, don't go over there. And he pulls it off. And for some reason, he immediately recognizes that it's the orderly that the guy is portraying. The orderly's like, oh yeah, he died, so I took a spot. And the guy's like, wait, but it looks like he was strangled. And the guy's like, huh, sure does. And then he strangles him.
Uh-huh. And Dr. Star.
Checks yeah. for a pulse.
Oh yeah, and that was a great laugh too.
Yeah, yeah, it was. Yeah.
He checks for his heart because he puts on the little doctor's stethoscope, not the doctor's sphere, and laughs maniacally. And it's a really good laugh. Then we get another doctor coming in that's like, oh, I'm another doctor. He's like, oh, that's great. You know, I'm so glad. Dr. Star doesn't like people waiting or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, that's the joke. And then that's the end.
Well, he closes the door and then he just kind of looks at the camera with a smile or something.
Yeah. Like a wink. Oh, I'm Dr. Star. And that's Asylum.
Sure which was. Yes. Which Asylum. Was
actually one of their more popular movies in the box office.
Which I just want to point out, Asylum, if you haven't figured it out, is an anthology. And it's so bad, not even the last drive-in with Joe Bob Briggs would play it. And they played like Scare Package and Hogzilla. So what the hell does this say about this?
They haven't gotten to it yet.
Right. It's on their to-do list.
Yeah.
That and other shitty movies made. Can't wait.
Yeah.
I mean, it was okay. I didn't think it was shitty. I mean, it feels like it was kind of just like thrown together or rushed or not really cared about too much. But I mean, it felt like it was trying to do something, but never quite got there.
Mm-hmm. And they did the meta twist at the end, like, oh, you're in the thing. You're in the anthology.
Oh, it gave me a smile. I mean, I was like, oh, cute.
Oh, you Dr. Star with your Dr. Spears. Yeah, I mean, it's very 70s anthology. I think a lot of it, too, is that Robert Bloch did a lot of, like, short stories. And they were probably like, well, just take your short stories and make a movie out of it, you know? Like, okay, you know, so probably a little bit to do with that. I thought it was fun. I actually watched it twice.
Yeah, you too.
Just for funsies. And I'll probably at some point watch it again. There were good parts of it. Like I said, my favorite was Lucy Comes to Stay. I just thought the acting was good. And that's kind of like it. I mean, there wasn't anything that like really spoke out to me, like Ghost House levels of, oh, wow, that was really, really bad.
I did my taxes for next year watching this.
Yeah, it's relaxing. That's how bad this was. It's relaxing.
Yeah. Nice and relaxing. An hour and a half.
And it does, like, I did like the parts being all tied together. I thought that
was... I think when parts were all tied together too, but yeah. Enough of my fetish.
Right. I mean, it's a fetish. I don't get to see that often. So good job. Mm-hmm. So we will move on to actually calling to see if it is art.
Ah, shit. There's more of this podcast.
Yep. This is the last part of it where we go through the five concepts to see if it can indeed call itself art.
Is this the part where I can talk about Exorcist? Because no. I was supposed to do that with the Bloody Marys and wow.
Nope. Pars, you're going to have to help me out. What is the first concept?
It's technical skill.
Okay, so that could be like what?
Cinematography, score, acting, writing, lighting, Foley, casting, things like that. And I give this one a 3. I liked the music. I liked the score, but I mean, it was okay. I mean, it was fine.
I also give it a 3. I thought, again, with the 70s colors, they were so bright. Again, fucking lately, horror movies are like just so drab and so dull and so like empty and vacant. And so it was like really nice to just see splotches of orange colors and blue colors and this and that. I would have preferred more gore, but can't always get what you want. But again,
I think we all preferred Al Gore. You said Al Gore, right?
You too? Really? You? Okay.
Oh, no.
I thought
Edge.
You were not on Al Gore's side.
That's surprising.
Al Gore is the man.
Okay.
That Trump can beat the easiest, so we all prefer Al Gore to run again. He's a loser anyways.
Gotcha. Okay. I knew we were going somewhere.
Oh, wow.
Are you
going to
rate this?
So I would give this, so one being the worst, five being the best.
And this is on technical skill?
Technical skill only.
Two. I want to see 70s Bush. I didn't see it. Two.
Okay. Fair enough.
Then the next one is concept or imaginative ideas.
Okay.
So,
do you want to go, Pars?
I gave this one a 3. So nice. This would be like subject matter and content, meaning and significant. It was fine.
fine. Yeah, no, I hear you. Actually, I gave it a 3 too. Because again, it never really rose to anything, but it never really stumbled on anything either. 4 was too much. I think maybe 3 would have been better for the anthology. I think 4 was a little bit stretching it if they had put a little bit more ideas or suspense into the other 3. I think that could have been better, maybe strengthened them a little bit more. That would have been, I think, a better way to go about it. But
was it 4 or 5?
Huh?
How many stories really were there? 4 or 5?
4. Well, 5, I guess, technically. But I meant 4 within the actual looping story.
Yeah, all right. Because let me read these taglines off and see how many stories you can pick out from them. See what the author's cycle is up to now. Next. Look at the leg that creeps, but there is no body. How the hell is that people are like, oh, I want to see that movie. It's easy. Excuse me, it's not easy. Breathing in a paper bag, especially if you're only ahead. So that's 2 for the same one. Just look at the way they're dying in the living room. Is that 3 for 3? Oh, wait, that's the other one, right? That's the one you like, the chick, right?
I think so.
Hot-blooded beauty in the cold freezer, call back to the first one again. The doctor makes his last house call. That's 5, right?
Yeah.
See the little man and his big knife, or a doctor's spear, I guess. That'll be 4. Author is psycho, you see nothing, use your mind. A polite warning, this house is not a home.
That's a dumb one.
Even the taglines suck.
Yeah, the taglines suck. 2. So what would you, 2?
2, it's all horrible. Nothing is innovative. Oh, someone's in an asylum telling some spooky shit. Oh, we're going to rip off Puppet Master. Oh, we're going to rip off the Doppelgangers. Oh, it's all Treehouse of Horror shit that's been around forever.
Yeah, it's ripping off things that came after it. You're right. Okay.
That's how ingenious and boring it is. It rips off stuff that comes after it.
Gotcha. Okay, so what's the next one, Pars?
Next one is aesthetics. So a sense of beauty, how it elevates the senses, or a sense of pleasure. And I gave this one a 2. I know, Box, you like the sense of color in the 70s films. I don't get that.
Okay. All right, you don't get color.
I guess so.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. I gave it a 3.5. It could have gone a little bit more. It could have gone a little bit less. I mean, it was no like Suspiria where it's all crazy kind of fun colors. Yeah. But I thought, again, like I know I'm pulling a lot from Lucy, but that one I was just enthralled with. She was beautiful. It was fun to watch. The other ones I thought were fun to watch too, like the one with Peter Cushing was very gothic and like just, you know, like Walt Disney's like haunted house typey, where it's just it's goofiness. I guess I like that kind of thing. The last one, I liked the little robot with the guts inside of it. I thought that was kind of fun. I thought the doctor dying was kind of shitty, but aesthetically, just looking at it, that was nice. The only scene that I really, really, really didn't like was when he was going up the stairs and looking at the pictures of the patients, like from, I don't know what time period, the 1800s. And basically, these are crazy people in loony bins, but it looks like somebody drew it like in their spare time.
I liked those. see, after you talk, I'm moving mine to 3. I like those pictures.
I love those pictures. Those pictures are the best.
I didn't
They're
like
perfect.
Them.
It could be the artwork for this podcast. It'll fit in somewhere.
And then the music was just goofy and
It was a little loud, wasn't it?
It was so loud, and he was just like looking at him like, what the fuck is up with this? And I agreed with him. I'm like, why is this here? So that's why it's kind of lower. So that's me.
Did you see that door on the asylum? Look how that asylum was built. It was an awesome old house. You want to move in. You got some roommates who are batshit crazy. That's all right. They're fine anyways. And you got all this cool artwork that's professionally done artwork by like maybe a two-year-old, but still professionally done. And to top it all off, Rock'em Sock'em Robots. It's got a fuck. It's everything. It's a 5.
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. I'll take it. Okay. So what is the next one?
Emotional power. So symbolism, interpretation, art as an experience, or how it relates to oneself in relation to the universe.
What do you think, Pars?
3. It was fine.
I'm going to shock people and say 2. As much as I enjoyed it and I thought it was fun and campiness, I didn't connect to it as much as I thought I would. The only one, like I said, was the one that Lucy Comes to Stay that I was really, I think, really engaged in. The other ones I felt were kind of, like I said, the one guy I thought was like from the 1930s. I was like, okay, that's weird. And the other ones, it was just hard for me to connect to. Their stories and the characters, and it didn't really add to any about mental health or kind of where we are in the universe. So to me, it was just kind of a...
A 2?
A 2.
Really?
Yeah.
God bless you. What was your score, though?
A 2.
God bless you. What was your score?
A 2.
God bless you. What was your score?
Who's on first?
Who is?
Who's on first?
Who?
Right.
No. I give this, what's the highest score?
5.
I give this an 8. Not only can I identify with all this crap, let's guess how many psycho stories was this? 4, maybe 5. And a doctor is the one thread through all of them trying to listen to people's psycho babble. Well, let me clue you in. Combo box. Bloody Mary's, Art Camp, and Throwdown. I have to guest star in all this crap. Yeah, I can relate. I can relate to that doctor. I can only wish someone was stringing me in the end. I'll pay extra. 5 out of 12.
Okay.
Whatever.
Light up again, Pars. we're almost at the end. But you might need it. Okay, the last one.
Cultural relevance or influence. So the communication of ideas socially, philosophically, and politically. So, and also its representation of reality.
Okay. So what would you give it?
3. Fine.
It's fine. Fine, 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 fine. Okay. I would give it actually... a 4, just because even though it is silly and it is kind of kooky, there are scenes in it that I think have played into other movies and into other aspects of the horror genre. Again, the head with the bag and the wrapped up, I've seen that afterwards too, both either on the body or not on the body, but I thought that that was telling because I think that could, I don't know if it relates right back to this, but obviously it's perpetuated it. And the same with, like, we joke about the Puppet Master, but this preceded Puppet Master, but was very similar in the vein of it. So I think, again, it might not have been a 1-for-1, but I'm sure something of it probably passed on to the next generation when they were watching it.
Like Corey Taylor?
I don't know that reference.
Slipknot with the masks.
Yeah.
That was one of my thoughts. I'm like, has Corey Taylor seen this?
Yeah.
That mask looks awful familiar. That face does.
Right. And again, like I said, I don't know if it's specifically directly from this, but obviously it's perpetuated it. So... yeah, I feel like it's part of our culture and part of something that we all belong to as horror fans. Your turn.
What's the high score again? Oh, who cares? I know what the high score is. It is a 12. This is a 12. We have Treehouse of Horror that comes from this. Little horror anthologies. We got Tales from the Dark Side, Tales from the Crypt, Tales from the Hood, Tales from Your Mama, Fido Goes West, Great American Story, Dogs and Cats, Living Together, Mass Hysteria, 12 out of 15.
Okay, sounds good. All right, do you have any recommendations, Pars?
I have four movies might like Daniel Isn't Real. I want to say that's by the same people who did Mandy.
Okay.
But I'm not positive on that. A Dark Song, and I've seen A Dark Song around.
Wait. Daniel Isn't Real? Done by whom?
I don't know.
The people that did what now?
Hold on.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Daniel Isn't Real, done by the people who did Andy?
Mandy.
Barry Manilow? Barry Manilow did this movie.
Just keep going, Pars. Just keep going.
A Dark Song. I've seen that one around, like, on Netflix and Prime. And then I'd say Shutter Island, of course.
Dark Song.
Mm-hmm.
Or 13 Ghosts.
Oh, God. Nicole will... I think that's Nicole's jam.
Scooby-Doo.
Okay.
So Nicole will be happy about that.
13 Ghosts, the guy from Scooby-Doo's in it. Matthew Lillard. That was a scary movie to you.
I actually haven't seen it in its entirety, so I should probably...
Oh, yeah, it scared me when I was younger.
The 13th Ghost is meth and his career, allegedly.
Oh. Allegedly.
I'm not sure about that.
I'm just going to recommend The House That Dripped Blood, because that's also an anthology and a British one and fun. And it stars, like, Christopher Lee and also Peter Cushing. And it's also a collection of, like, four short stories. So, do you have any recommendations? I am nervous to say what you're going to recommend.
I strongly recommend never doing a podcast here, because it's just a bunch of hippie liberal creepoids saying, oh, art is so mysterious. It is all this insane asylum. It's an asylum. We don't know what to call it. Oh, and spend your time. And the only thing that matters, making art great again, which means America first beer we ever drank was, of course, beer. Season 13, get some my supplies last. Already sold out. Sorry.
Okay. All right, Parts, for the next movie, I know you've already picked it. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
It is a 2013, I believe, film by the name of Enemy. It's an adaptation of a, I believe, Spanish book. And it is a horror art film starring Jake Gyllenhaal. I'm really excited to see your thoughts on it.
Well, I'm really excited to watch it because you told me to watch it a million times. And then it scared me because you told me to watch it a million times.
Just like
Bowling, you're right? Gonna wanna watch it more than once for sure, because as soon as you see the last like 2 seconds of the film, you're gonna be like, what?
Okay.
Spoiler alert, three people have the same title of the character, Lady in Dark Room. That's how great this movie is. It's called Enema for a reason.
So we will be watching, I forgot, 2013, was it?
Enemy, yes.
2013's Enemy on the next time with a nicer guest who...
And a worse rating, of course, because you can't get better ratings than Wah.
You know what? I'm fine with that. I'm 100% fine with that. So everybody have a good day.
Except for you two.
Please come and listen to us again. And we're not going to even plug stuff. So we're going to just leave. All right. Thank you. Goodbye.
You're welcome.